I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Now that's a form of pilot. Didn't you fly those guys? Well, thank you for attending.
I'm gonna be there now.
All right, let's start with the approval of minutes. Can I get a motion on that from the?
Motion to approve.
I'll cancel it.
Okay, we got a motion to approve by Mike, second. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, it's approved. New business, proposed unattended vessel ordinance. Nick Snyder, Director Snyder, please.
Good morning, good to see you all. Well, very quickly, we had a discussion Brian and I did probably over a year ago. And it was about abandoned vessels, which, and I'll let Brian speak to that in regard to what Idaho could, they can use to deal with those things. This is a little different. This is about unattended vessels that I'd like to discuss with you. And that's before you, the document I just laid in front of you. It's from Valley County. There's a gentleman here in Cooley County that asked me about these unattended vessels. And again, something that Sergeant Miller and I spoke about a year ago, and his predecessor, Sergeant Klinkovas as well, about, you know, our world is changing in terms of boats. Boats are getting bigger, slips are getting more expensive. People are looking for ways to be on Lake Coeur d'Alene or Lake Monterey or wherever they would like to boat and well, avoid slip fees. I think that's the easiest just way to say it. And currently, you can drop anchor as long as your stern is lit. Sergeant Miller, you can jump at any time, and you're illegal to stay there, essentially indefinitely. So whether you're live aboard or it's just transient use and you're using different areas to anchor and live or otherwise just store your boat, we're trying to get out ahead of that. At least I am, with some sort of language, and it doesn't come without problems. Again, I'll defer to Sergeant Miller on that. But what's in front of you is Valley County's, just a snip of some of their waterways ordinance that speaks to houseboat anchoring, unattended vessel, et cetera. And it's probably at least time we start having a conversation. It doesn't have to be decided today, but I do envision getting something to our county attorney to look at, to the county commissioners to look at, and at least at some point adopting some sort of tool to deal with those problems. You can imagine if we had 30, 40, 50 boats anchored all in a bay, it would essentially cause some navigation hazards, maybe some aesthetic beauty hazards, you call it whatever you wish, but otherwise problems associated with vessels that are left unattended for whatever amount of time is problematic, not to be decided by me. So again, before you is just an ordinance for you to take a look at, maybe have some discussion about, and I'd like to have the Waterways Advisory Board give it some thought about what makes sense to present potentially to the commissioners, should this board want to do that. Regardless, I'll probably still make a recommendation to Board of County Commissioners that they entertain some form of language that addresses unattended vessels. Again, I'm going to defer to Sergeant Miller about what sort of problems that could cause for their department and their deputies, but if we don't have a tool, then we don't have an option. And so to that end, that's really what I have, is an opportunity for this board to think about it, weigh in, and if they believe that there's a need to get some language adopted in waterways ordinance to address these future problems, then good on you.
Okay,
Sergeant Miller, happy to look right off the bat for discussion. What's your thoughts, problems you guys have to say?
So we've been bringing this up to the board for about 5 years now. That we have people that call in all the time and ask what the law is about bringing their large vessels over from different parts of the country and mooring them up. And we've told them that there is no law that prohibits that right now. We've brought it again to the board. Nothing for an action item, but just to let everyone know that it's probably coming at some point. It's going to be the cheapest or maybe the only efficient way to get waterfront access for the entire summer. So people are doing it. We already have a houseboat It's a red houseboat that has jet skis that are attached to it that this guy's been anchoring in different parts of the river, and he runs a business off of that. And I mean, there's nothing that prevents that. Now, if this is an ordinance that is passed down the road, some of the things that we'd have to put in or think about ahead of time is the cost. Who's going to pay for the removal of these? The sheriff's office cannot do that. It would eat up our entire operations budget. Right now, if we were to impound a vessel, it does come, the sheriff's office covers that, right? Some of these vessels, like that sailboat that's up in Farragut, is going to cost about $10,000 to remove. That's on someone else's property on Farragut, so we're not touching that. Our attorney told us to leave it alone. The state was going to get involved, and they said, hey, we'll just pay for it, and then we'll take the money from the RBS funds that Cooney County would get. So it would have directly penalized the Cooney County Sheriff's Office by doing that. If this were to happen and we were to remove these vessels, I would like to come up with something that was pre-agreed upon. Maybe it's a third of our vessel account, a third of parcel waterways, and then a third from the general fund from taxpayers. That way, two-thirds of boaters are paying for it, and then a third from the taxpayers. We do definitely have to think about costs. Right now, if we tow a vehicle on the roadway, we call Schaefer's Towing, that's what we have as a contract for the county. They would tow the vehicle, then they go after the owner. The owner can't retrieve the vehicle until they pay for it. It's abandoned. Then they scrap it and they get money for it. That way, it kind of helps pay for it a little bit. Sometimes they lose out, sometimes they don't. We don't have contracts on the water as far as that goes, so every time a contractor comes out, they want to get paid immediately. They won't do the work unless they send us a bill right away. So we need to figure out who's going to impound or pay those impound fees, because it's going to get very expensive on the water. The cheapest is about $300 an hour and $300 for the initial call out.
Okay. The model works on the cars on the street pretty well.
It does, yeah.
At least from your end.
Exactly.
Is making money. But.
And there's been other local water tow companies that said if there was a contract that said that, you know, we get all of the tows that the county deals with, then maybe we consider something, but it's not as much as, I mean, Schaefer's, we might call them three or four times a day, right? On the water, we're not calling that much, so the contract wasn't the same. I told them, present us with contracts, whatever you think you want to do, and nothing ever came forward. Again, there's so much more money in that, in the salvage. Also, in the water, it's not, like on the roadway, part of the contract with Schaefer's is they have a time limit. They have to respond to us because we have to clear the roadway. On the waterway, they wouldn't do that, and they would always put that behind a salvage, because salvage could be a lot of money. So that always comes first. So it wasn't the same as looking at a contract on the water or on the roadway.
We have $46 for a vessel registration versus thousands of property tax. In fact, I know a guy that has a houseboat in front of his place on the river in lieu of building a guest house. But the heat is tied to his docks, so it's not a problem, you know, but same thing. So it would also have to be interesting to do that. If someone does like that have a houseboat on their dock, and they have their relatives living in it for a week during the summer on vacation, I'm just playing devil's advocate here. Yeah. You know, because here this thing's talking about 15 days, that would cover that. But I mean, there's also those.
He moves it out for a day.
Well, no, I mean, it's your houseboat tied to your dock. And you've got your relatives staying in it because daughter's getting married this week or something.
The language would have to be pretty specific.
Yeah, I'm looking at that one.
The attorneys would have to get involved with that. There's so many different scenarios that, I mean, I don't know if we'll be able to get specific enough. Yeah. Like, this one on this Valley County one, I'm not seeing anything where it says, are they allowed to move their vessel? So right now in the city of Hayden, you can't park a vehicle on the roadway for more than, I think it's 48 hours. So if you do that though, you park it, I can put a tag on there, and you move it 1 foot, you just moved your vehicle, right? So what's that gonna be as far as on the waterways? Also, is that from the anchor point, or is the vessel moving, does that count, right? There's so many different parts that it's gotta be pretty specific, it's gotta be clear.
Tied to a dock versus anchored.
Yes.
You know, I mean, all sorts of very. Yeah, but it's something I think that you brought up a good point. I'm sure it's going to become an issue, especially as we grow. Because I thought about it, if I bought a really nice boat, go live in a cove all summer,
I've thought about.
You know, I mean, also, when you start for a property for $100,000 instead of $3 million.
And as long as you're not blocking someone's littoral rights, you can do that. Now, currently, if they're blocking a littoral access, if they're blocking a boat launch or anything like that, that's what we don't need an ordinance. We're already covered on that one. We can go remove it. But if it's, you know, again, if they're outside that littoral area, that's when there's a problem.
Yeah, see, 500 yards off of right in front of the college at Nick.
Would
you would? You can anchor, and I don't know how you'd ever stop it, but that would be where I'm going to go. I think that guy's not nice, but I don't know how you'd ever stop it.
Would the board consider a motion to get this further, look into it officially, so Nick could proceed with this?
Wait a minute, motion.
We have a motion. Is there a second for that?
A second.
Okay. What, any other discussion on that? So I guess the motion would be something to the effect of, let's look into this a little bit deeper, bring it up again, and then refer it to the, once we have something, give it to Nick to refer it to the county commissioners. Get ahead of the curve instead of playing catch up for a change.
What's the Fed law right now on like this Coast Guard part then?
Well, I included some language that, again, it's just a snip of some federal regulations.
What's existing laws that could be used?
Right, and that's why I think Valley County is probably the most applicable because it's within Idaho. It's already been implemented. The Coast Guard one I actually put out there more for Ryan to both annoy and give him something to think about. But if, in fact, our waterway is a navigable waterway, it does say that the Coast Guard, which again could be another conversation about jurisdiction, it says right there that the Coast Guard and the Army Corps of Engineers is the one responsible to get that removed. So not that I'm not a fan of handling it locally, but if it's a navigable waterway, and in fact there's federal code regulations that say they're the ones that have to handle it, then...
And they're here twice a year, and they live 350 miles away.
Right, so
I think getting them to, even like Ryan and I were talking, getting them to show up over here on the holidays is getting harder and harder.
Sure.
Army Corps come over for a houseboat.
Sure. Army Corps is also mentioned in that. So Army Corps is a local agency, and so as to who pays the bills and all that, I'm always looking for a partner. So anyway, if it's a navigable waterway, then... what the code says.
Have we looked at what other states do?
I have. It's a potpourri of different rules. Some are extremely stringent. I looked at Oregon, Washington, there's a few back east, Wisconsin. There are some that I don't believe likely adoptable here in the great state of Idaho where we enjoy freedoms. There are some that are very restrictive. So I think that, obviously the county commissioners will have to make the ultimate determination, but I'm just looking for a tool that Coon County Sheriff's Office is a fan of, meaning that it's enforceable, it's clear, and it's a tool in their toolbox to say, hey, you know, this vessel has been anchored in this bay all summer. While it is lit, the stern's lit, and it's not a navigable hazard, it runs afoul to the county ordinance.
Unattended vessel.
As an unattended. The abandoned vessel, again, I want to be clear, I'm not talking about an abandoned vessel. According to Sergeant Miller, that there's already a tool for that. There is a funding issue for sure. But this is something a little different. More of the liveaboard. You'll also see there's some language in there about liveaboard, some houseboat stuff from Valley County. That's kind of the tool I'm looking for what I think is coming. It's already here, but it could really become a problem, and then we're trying to play catch up on an ordinance. I think if we get something in place now, it'll just make life easier. And we can advertise that too. Before it becomes a problem, if we have an ordinance, we can put it out to the public, says, hey guys, here's the rules about that too. Again, Sergeant Miller's earlier statement about people calling him and saying, hey, can I deploy this houseboat and live on it? And if we already have something in ordinance, they'll be able to answer that definitively.
I like it out in front of it. If you have some links or something, you could be direct to what other states have, maybe we could read. So as we have this discussion, I guess at the next meeting, what you're talking about, is that having to look at maybe some model out and pick and choose off the top four and see what we come up with it to suggest
Well, I thought by the next meeting, maybe get more examples.
I was thinking that I would send you some language in advance, so by the time we land at the next meeting, you'll have plenty of time to discuss amongst yourself.
Besides, our next meeting is our final meeting of the year. So it'd be a good time to get this done and time to give it to the board for consider for next summer.
Agreed. I also wanted to mention that this might be Sergeant Miller's last meeting?
December.
December? Okay, so.
It's traditional for Sergeant Miller to take the board to dinner after his last meeting.
Oh, you don't want the dinner I'm offering?
So it's not Wolf Lodge?
Yeah, it is Wolf Lodge. I'll meet you there.
Step into that one.
What's the law now on, not the abandoned one, but, I mean, there's a boat, there's a sailboat on Hayden right now. Floating? No big deal, because there's one, but he's always going to be. I'm out there 5 out of 7 days. I've seen one.
The one that's anchored out there, you mean?
Yeah.
There is, he's fine as long as it's lit at night, and he's not blocking anyone's littoral access.
And so it doesn't have to be attended the whole time?
No. Nope.
So you can anchor your boat, take off, go to the shore, however, stand with paddleboard, and not have to come back for a week or two or three?
Or the summer. I mean, he's not the only one doing that either.
Right.
Yeah. There's others on Lake Coeur d'Alene as well. Again, if they're lit at night, you're good.
You could imagine if you were anchored in 6 inches of water, right at the shoreline, at City Beach, or anywhere else that's public. I'm not sure you could do anything about it, correct, sir?
Well, if you're within a certain distance to the shore.
The line of navigation, I think, is what it says. There's something about the line of navigation, which the best I can find is that it's the low water mark.
Right, so if you're below that,
then
difficult. There's nothing that in current ordinance or IOCO code that stipulates the depth to which you must be anchored.
Nope. And as long as it's, not a swim area or... Mm-hmm. Or someone else's, blocking some access. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Is there anything for commercial? I'm sorry.
One question I had, so kind of if we were looking at this on Valley and kind of resources that you guys have to deal with, how does Coon County compare to Valley? Right, Valley County, do you have more water, do you have less sheriffs, do you have more sheriffs?
More water, more people, more everything. Right. Yeah.
So I think with that, I think this is a good framework. Some level of thought, right? I know you're already thinking about this, right? But something that, like, hey, this works well for Valley because they have like 100,000 people, and the county has, right? Got all so much water. That's, I'm just kind of looking at this, like, I think it's a good framework, but I fear, to Fort Wayne's known for, I didn't even know how much water Valley has, right? Like, Coon County is known for water. So that would just be my thoughts on it, though. Mm-hmm. It's, structuring it in a way that it actually benefits us as local residents versus residents that aren't local.
True. Yeah.
Okay, so we call for a vote on this to have Nick do this. I'll call for the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Aye. Nick, you have something to do for next meeting. Yay.
I'll get it done.
Thank you. And you can send it out in advance to the...
Well in advance.
Well in advance, we'll just
So my hope is, Mr. Chairman, that the bright minds of the board will bring back the answer with all the details that we'll submit to the county attorneys and county commissioners.
Sometimes I live in that alternate universe as well. Yeah.
Then you wake up.
Then I wake up. The reality hits us. Okay. Old business. There is none. Staff reports.
Sure, yeah. So our season is essentially tapering down, almost over. I'd say this is your Marine team right here now. All of our seasonals have since gone. We have one guy that's got, we had to put him off for about 30 days, and he'll come back and just do part-time throughout the off-season for us to help us out. We had a couple challenges this year that we weren't really expecting. I mean, we continue to have hiring challenges. But we're, starting with that, we're just not getting the same applicant pool, so we're trying to look outside the box. We're probably going to raise our pay up again, which is going to be the highest in the state of Idaho. Bonner County is going to be right behind us. So we're probably going to be looking close to that $25 an hour mark for a seasonal job. I don't think that's really going to, that itself's not going to boost us very much. Percy decided to come up with a really silly decision, and there's no appeal process, and they just made it up on their own. They said that they've determined that boating in Idaho is no longer seasonal, it's year-round. So since that is now a thing, that we can no longer have that six-month period to have a deputy hired and then lay them off before having to pay a Percy. Now it's 5 months, so that either is going to change when we start our academy, or we're going to lose it. So we just, and they told us that about 3 weeks ago, so we actually had to lose people before we were planning on it. So we should still have deputies working for us right now, and we don't, because Percy decided to change their ruling on that. And we can't afford, the county can't afford, and the deputies can't afford to pay into Percy for just a six-month deal. It just doesn't make sense. And the county would lose that money as well. So it's just not a good deal. Again, they said that there's no appeal process, so it's just something that we're going to have to kind of figure out as well. Our numbers are pretty low. If you look at the past couple years, I don't have them compiled yet. I'll have them at the December meeting like I always do. But our numbers are a little bit lower, but that's across the board. It's not just in enforcement and inspections and contacts. And there's different reasons for that. Again, we had some, a lot of these guys already had pre-planned vacations. That's something that we're finding out too, is, you know, we used to get these guys that would show up and they would work every single day of the summer. Want to work every single day of the summer as long as we'd allow them to. Now they're coming in and they have military leave and vacations and sick stuff and all this other thing, all these other things. So they're not working full shifts or full summer. But then also with that, we haven't had any, you know, fatality crashes or anything big, so that was good. Overall, I mean, it's going to look like a completely odd number compared to everything else. Our COVID year was our super high number in the past 5 years, like out of the ordinary, really crazy. And then this is completely the inverse to that. So we'll see what the future holds. But overall, no major issues. We were able to purchase some pretty good equipment for our vessels. So that's good, because we weren't spending money in as much as salaries and overtime. So we're actually able to refocus that into getting some new equipment. The sonar team just got their brand new upgraded system. We also just put in to buy them a new robot as well, because that also is an outdated system. That's about $60,000, $52,000. And then the sonar system, we had some help from that from the Mahogany Boaters Association and the county commissioners, but that was $84,000. They just came back from Montana yesterday, doing a mission helping them out on a guy that drowned on the 15th of July. They didn't have a locate, but we have some good points that were given them to send their ROV teams out to. So again, we just got the system hooked up a couple weeks ago, and we're already deploying it, which is really good. So some pros there. I'm about to leave in about a minute or two. I have to head to dive training. They're doing, we have a big dive training that we have had planned, so if there's anything else for me, let me know. These guys will hang out for the rest of the meeting, but do you guys have anything to add for the season? Or...
Okay. Thank you, Sergeant Miller.
Absolutely.
All right, Nick, Parks and Waterways update.
Yeah, so like Sergeant Miller, we'll have your end stats for your next meeting, i.e. citations, written about revenues, all those kinds of data points we'll put together. Brunel puts those together, so thank you, Brunel, in advance. Our update is pretty malaise in a good way, in that we really had an uneventful summer in terms of we didn't have people drowning in our facilities or injuries or any of these things. Water is extremely low at Fernand, Upper Twin, other areas, as you know. So that's been a bit of a challenge for our boat launches, just getting people in and out of water. You know, some of these boat launches aren't designed to accommodate biblical lows, and that's kind of where we're at right now. It really is striking how low those waters are. So that was really our only challenge this year in terms of getting people in and out of water. As you know, Coumadin County puts more people in the water than all the other agencies combined. So it's great when we only have really one phone call, maybe two, where someone says, hey, there's a problem in your facility, i.e. it's really low water, not really the facility itself. So that's good news, but we have some projects coming up, as we always do, and that is Upper Twin. We're going to remove the dock, the floating dock system at Upper Twin Lake. there's a lot of ice that moves around and it's just destroying pilings. I mean, we have steel pilings driven 10 to 12 feet deep and they're tipped over easily by the ice. You know, they have 6 to 8 inches of ice that moves all in one sheet. You know, that's hundreds and hundreds of thousands of pounds, or tons rather, and so that that's a problem. So we're going to remove that. We're going to drive piling, tie them together, and build a fixed pier at Upper Twin to forever solve, well, we hope forever solve that problem. So that'll be going on in the spring. I'm writing the contract as we speak. And then we plan to do a boat launch project at Micah Bay, which is a very, very busy boat launch. We'll do a concrete pour there. It's getting pretty, it's in poor shape. It's been there 50 plus years. Probably not going to get to it until next fall. I just found out this morning the contractor is way behind in some other things. And so the money's there today, but we might not actually get boots on the ground and get that done until the following fall. But that's in play. As this board's aware, it has been some time. I'll put it back up in December. We're going to go after Carlin Bay replacement. You guys might remember the digital rendering I showed you. We'll put it back up. But I'll be writing a grant for that between now and the next time we meet. And so at your December meeting, that grant will be before you for support and anticipated signature. And again, I'll put it up there. But that'll be a Waterways Improvement Fund grant. And so we'll go after that. Also, we received a new groomer. So that snow cap machine, we received a 2025 from the state. Our newest one was a 15, so it's outdated, although it's been some pretty rough go the last 2 years with snowfall. So as you guys know, we're not, our staff is not taking care of boat launches, they're all grooming 300 miles of snowmobile trail in the backcountry. So that was added to our duties in 2020, and they've done a fantastic job turning around. The whole team has developed that program. However, you know, I'm a senior. Last 2 years, the brutal registrations are down significantly. That could have a significant impact. Unlike boating, boaters typically just register their boats regardless of whether they're going to go out, they're going to boat. Obviously, snowmobilers, if there's not snow 1 year, it's tough. If there's not snow 2 years, it's brutal. And then, so we're waiting to see what those registration numbers come in. That also has a direct effect on the KCSO team. I reached out to the state last week and I got an answer that they're running behind on revenues. Typically, we have that check right now. We do not. So we're waiting for that. But that could have a significant impact to KCSO as well. So we'll see how that shakes out. We did install a new dock at Bayview. It was a lot of drama, a lot of emotion, a lot of things going on. In the nearly 20 years I've been at the county, I've never had a dock replacement project that was. That was so emotional as that one, but we got through it, got it installed, and the county commissioners recently terminated the lease to the Lakes Highway District, giving them an opportunity for additional partners to manage that facility. Coon County has managed it essentially since the 70s. It comes with some challenges. I'm going to get into all those challenges here today. But I did meet with Lakes Highway District recently. I had a cup of coffee with the superintendent, and we're looking at some alternative ideas for management. So more to come on that. But that agreement could also affect Maiden Rock at Spirit Lake, as well as Lower Twin, which are essentially just gravel roads, right-of-ways that go into the lake, but important access points for the public. Those would not go away. It would just be Coonie County potentially no longer maintaining those for the benefit of the public. It would be potentially another agency we'll find. I'll know more in December. So hopefully we have that answered. But as of about a month ago, the county commissioners canceled the lease, the new lease that was inked earlier this year, and to give maximum notice to Lakes Highway District. So that's
right now. Lakes Highway District clears the all the where you park and launch boat at Fairfield.
No, Farragut is Idaho State Parks. This would be Bayview.
Right, okay.
So this is that boat launch in the right. In the city of Bayview. Right. Yes. Yeah. As well as the sort of the rural gravel launch at Maiden Rock at Spirit Lake, just off Nautical Loop area. Yeah. If you know where that's at, and then Lower Twin, which is next to the Dragon Range at Par 3 there. So we don't have a lot of infrastructure at those other two, but certainly we do at Bayview. So we'll see how it shakes out. regardless, Bayview is in good shape in terms of has, we put a brand new dock there in 16 and it lasted a good 4 years, and then of course we just put a new one there. So from a boater perspective, it's never gonna be closed. It's always, the docks will always be there. This is a matter of who's going to manage it moving forward. So I'll have more answers for the board in December on that. And then boathouse project, as you know, we're in the midst of going through design and engineering for the replacement of the county's shared boathouse with KCSO. So we were blessed to get the largest grant ever done in the state of Idaho. So that's a good thing. Now we'll see if we can actually afford to get that thing installed. There's a lot of moving parts to that, to which I won't bore you today, but we're working through leases and engineering and architectural, and there's a lot of things going on there. So, but the permit is done, and we're still moving forward. I anticipate it going out to bid probably in November. So we should have some numbers back to discuss in December. Hopefully we actually have a contract ink from the marine contractor so we can get that thing built and ready to go for potentially boating season 2026. Just depends on how quickly they're able to move. So it's kind of where we're at on that. And then we were blessed. The county commissioners made a very difficult decision, one we appreciate, and that was to add another park ranger to our staff, the first one in 18 years. They understood our challenges with growth over 18 years, and our guys couldn't get any more efficient, to be honest. They were at a maximum to just to cover the basics that we have. So we went from a population of approximately 94,000 when I started in 2006 to a population now of 185,000, so an 80+% increase in population. So the same amount of rangers covering the same, double the amount of people, nearly applies to KCSO as well. So that many more people to deal with. It's getting tough.
They're all on 95%.
Yeah. they're everywhere, aren't they? So it's getting tough just to move around, guys. So as an example, those of you that have been here at least more than 10 years might recall, you could drive from Bayview probably down to Summit Boat Launch in probably about 45 minutes. And now that is double that amount of time in traffic. If you're trying to work your way from Bayview, again, imagine the same is true for deputies, just trying to reach all these locations. So we've had to rework how we access some of these facilities. We've broken the county into quarters, essentially, probably much like KCSO deputies, they're sort of assigned an area, and that's what we're having to go with the rangers now. They can no longer get from the north to the south, the east to the west all in one day. Those days are gone. So that's created some challenges for us, and so we're appreciating the county commissioners for funding that new position. Again, first time in Ocean Boys history, so we appreciate that. And those are the highlights of what I have. A lot of projects and a new position, so we're happy to have it. That's what I got.
Well, thank you very much. Looking forward to hearing about the boathouse in December, because that was quite a project.
We'll be happy to give you a tour when it's done.
Yes.
Yes.
And right on your other boat.
Absolutely.
We all need to go out on that boat.
Yeah, we look forward to getting you out there.
If we ever get enough water to float it.
Right. Yeah. Well, we're floating as of today, but it's...
Yeah, mine's getting pretty shallow too. All right, future agenda topics.
So one thing I was going to ask, you know, we had that opportunity. I couldn't go. I had another conflict. But the Environmental Alliance sponsored trip on Coeur d'Alene Lake a couple weeks ago, and Mike was sharing a little bit this morning, and I think Gary may have one. I don't know if you were able to, but I saw the notes. And I just wonder, can we take just a minute? Any highlights, whether it's appropriate?
Yeah, let's get through this and then do that.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So, discussing future agenda topics. Anybody have anything for a future agenda?
Just right. What we already discussed.
Just what we discussed. Public comment. You guys want to say anything? Hear the public. All right. Now let's do the discussion here on that. You're referring to the invite that we got to go out on the house.
Yeah, I was curious. We had such a great briefing from the lady that was here the last time, and then I saw that opportunity come up. And
I'm like, can I win?
So, 2-2. So, fortunately, we did get a quorum on the vote. Because we've all learned that quorum lesson since then.
Because then we'd
have to add a special meeting afterwards. Apparently, if four of us get together, outside of this room, we have to have it posted, agenda, and that thing we went through last night. That's, unless we get the county council to realize it's nonsense. Can I say that out loud? Yeah, just.
I'll second your nonsense.
Grinnell?
Yes.
Would you share with the board about what you know about them getting together Idaho Code with regard to how many people, so?
Yeah, if there was a quorum, so more than half of our board, I would have just needed to post an agenda that you were attending so that the public would be noticed. That's all.
So it's easy as that.
That's why I asked the question when we sent that email.
And when we're there, we can actually talk to each other and not like get in trouble.
Correct.
Well, yeah, as long as there's not four of us.
And no decisions were made and such.
Right.
Yeah.
So Renell's happy to post that.
Oh.
Just give her a heads up.
I just need to know.
That will cover your respective INEs and meet Idaho Code and give the public an opportunity to comment and,
So, like, when we do make our presentation to the board, if we know in advance, or to the commission, that we're going to be four of us there, we'll do the same thing.
Oh, absolutely, yes.
Yeah.
No problem.
Yeah. Okay.
And even if it's a boat ride, so we would need to notice that.
Well, yeah, if you took the advisory board on your boat.
Correct.
Or Ryan did.
And correct. If four of us were to meet for, three of us were to meet for lunch.
Not a problem. Three of us can meet all day.
I don't think so.
Four of us if we're not.
Oh, four of us is a quorum.
Technically, we're not doing business. I mean,
Mr. Chairman, I was always recommend that if more than if a couple of you are going to get together and talk about county business, that you notice it and we can do it very, very quickly, not a problem.
Yeah. Okay. Tom, you wanted to ask a
question? No, I was just asking any highlights, you know, things that they learned, any that
they can share. Is this something we want to do in a meeting, or we want to do this offline?
It's your pleasure, Mr. Chairman.
I'm thinking, in the interest of Renell, we can let her get out of here.
I'm for that.
Call for the chairman and then talk about it on our own?
You're absolutely welcome to do
that. And I don't think we violated any laws doing that.
No, do keep in mind that the gentleman behind you whose facility they're responsible for may have to be other places too, so.
Well, I don't think this is going to take all that long. I just didn't think you needed
completely up to you.
So I'll call for an adjournment.
Motion adjourned.
Second.